A movie maker and her movie come home to Coos Bay this evening. Barry Chase once lived in the area. She returned to those roots and, in a sense, returned to her childhood with the making of the movie The Watchman's Canoe. It is a coming-of-age story about a little girl and much more than that, too. Barry Chase is the producer and the writer and the director. She hosts screenings of the director's cut of The Watchman's Canoe starting tonight at the Egyptian Theater in Coos Bay. Barry Chase, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hi, well, thank you for having me.
How long did you live in Coos Bay the first time, and what got you to come back?
You know what? I grew up here after moving down from the reservation north of Seattle with my mom and brother, and so I graduated from high school at Marshfield, and you know, it was interesting. I just finished my master's degree at Arizona State University in film and media studies, and had a film that I had worked on writing while our mom was passing away, actually, in Coos Bay, and my sister and I were here taking care of her, and I realized in writing that I needed to come home and film it. So I did.
So it really is, this is quite a bit of you in the story of The Watchman's Canoe, I understand.
It is. It's loosely based off of my life as a little girl in 1969, in the late 60s, when we moved to a reservation called Tulalip, north of Seattle.
And which tribe is that?
It's the Tulalip tribe, mm-hmm. Up north of Seattle. It's in the Marysville area. And we were only there for a short time, but it left a great impression on me. So when I was home with my sister taking care of our mom, that's when I started writing The Watchman's Canoe. I had gone downstairs to the basement and saw our old tribal totem pole sitting in the corner, and I glanced at it and put my hand on it and thought about it, and the whole story came to me. So I wrote The Watchman's Canoe over a period of about 3 weeks, and had a few of my friends who are mentors read it, and they fell in love with it, and so did I. So decided to come home and give it a shot.
So the story that is told in the film about Jet Chase, the little girl on the reservation, is, again, very similar to yours, and it has a lot to do with outward appearance. Tell us about that.
Right. So Jet is fair-skinned Native American. You know, it's always so hard to judge a book by the cover. But she moves to a reservation where she's bullied. So the film largely deals with bullying, identity, all of these types of things. And, she's just, you know, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl that moves to the reservation, and the other kids don't accept her.
So if you're doing a movie, obviously, about kids bullying each other, you have to work with kids. And what's the line for filmmakers? Don't work with kids or pets?
Yes. That's one of the lines is don't ever work with kids or pets. You're correct. But, you know, it worked out great. We got most of our, all of our children, actually, that were in the film are local from the Coos Bay area. And they were all fantastic. We had a great pool of talent to choose from here. And that's what made me really fall in love with this area again.
Keri Goodson plays the lead character, Jet Chase, and I only saw a minute or so of her in the trailer, but she has a very expressive face.
She does, and actually she's sitting right here with me, and she's wonderful. She was amazing. When she came to her audition, I just knew in my gut the minute I met her, I thought, wow, this is a superstar in the making right here.
And totally homegrown from the Coos Bay area, right?
Yes, exactly. The three actors that are here with me are three of the kids. So we've got Keri, who plays Jet, the protagonist. We've got Carter John, who plays Smiley, the biggest bully of them all. And then we've got Matthew Johnson, who plays Cousin Petey, who comes to the reservation and spends the summer and gets into some trouble with Jet.
Had any of them ever acted in film before?
Actually, I believe Carter John had done a little bit of acting in film before, but pretty much no. So it was really fun. We all got to have a lot of fun and had a lot of laughs and practiced a lot.
How different is it? I imagine these kids did come with some stage experience, but how different is that from acting for camera?
Right. So the theater is wonderful, and of course, you know, you being where you are, I believe you are down in Ashland, great theater.
We get to see a little of it here, yes.
Yeah, we got a lot of theater up here, too, and it's really wonderful because the theater, you know, is great for building confidence and helping you memorize line and all of these things. The difference in acting for film is that you don't have to project that much. We really want you to be calm and simple and yourself and not going out of your way. So we did have to dial that down on a few of the actors because they did come from theater. especially Kiri. She's done a lot and a lot of theater up here. So, you know, a lot of times she would all of a sudden look like a 1920s damsel in distress.
Large expressions and that sort of thing?
Yes. Exactly.
And trying to project to the back row in a large auditorium?
Exactly. So it was quite funny. We would have to dial her back a little bit, but she did a great job. And for all of the lines, and to have kids carrying the film, people are going to fall in love with these kids. They're just amazing. And it's such a great story about forgiveness and hope and, you know, trust, and also, you know, mentors, and give adults a lesson too, and a discussion that they can have with their kids regarding bullying, regarding, you know, identity. Who are you? Who do you want to be? These types of things. So it's really a great film.
Barry Chase, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the producer, writer, and director of the film called The Watchman's Canoe. There'll be some screenings of the director's cut. We'll find out what's different about that from the earlier versions. It'll screen at the Egyptian Theater tonight and tomorrow and Sunday as well, it looks like. And you can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And just to get a little taste of the film, we have a chunk of the trailer I want to play for just a moment here.
The Watchmen protected the tribes by listening to the land, the animals, the wind, and the water. You could tell us what was to come. There are few who could still hear, and we knew she was coming. Nothing prepared us for what would happen that summer. It became the legend of the Watchman's Canoe.
So now we know the story of the Watchman. Is there an actual Watchman appearance in the film, one of the elder Watchmen?
Yes, actually there is. So the Watchman is played by Roger Willey, and he is playing Uncle Ralph, who is the Watchman.
Okay, and I want to give credit to whoever's singing the song. Can you tell us who that is?
Sure. So that's Stephen Bailey out of Portland, Oregon. He's a fantastic musician and actually has quite a few songs on our soundtrack. So he's just amazing. We have four different musicians on our soundtrack.
You know, this certainly sounds like a labor of love, Barry, but I wonder how much it stirred up stuff in you that maybe you hadn't touched on in a while. The process of not just the writing, but also the producing of it and the working with the kids and recreating some scenes that are similar to what you went through when you were a kid.
Right. It's really interesting because it's twofold and multiple fold, actually. You know, you're dealing with, yes, these old memories and people, you know, thinking back about being bullied and, you know, how maybe I could have done something better, or maybe elders that were in my life could have done something better. But also, too, it's a creative process that is so emotional, too, because this becomes your baby. And, you know, this is my first feature film. It becomes my baby. And so as you watch it come to life and you know, and you go into post and you see the whole story unfolding right in front of you, it's just such an incredible experience.
How big a production did it end up being? I mean, there's a fair number of credit names on the website for The Watchman's Canoe.
Sure. So our crew was quite small, actually. We had a lot more talent involved because of the amount of kids and classroom scenes that we had. But, you know, I would say about 30 people total, main people. And then, of course, you know, all of the local area of Coos Bay actually invested in the film.
That was what I was going to ask you about. So not just local actors, but you had local money in this, too.
Exactly. So what we do is we have equity share investors. That's what we're doing for our next show after The Watchman's Canoe, which is Coyote Howls. So we had the local people all purchase shares, equity shares, and we had 100 available at $5,000 each. And the local community stepped forward and really supported this project.
You sold all 100 of those shares?
We sure did.
Wow.
We did. It was so incredible. And the outpouring of love and support, I mean, even for things like cars that we needed, you know, locations that we needed. I mean, the community really stepped forward to support this project and support the philosophy and ideology of just, you know, this industry of film.
That's right. I forgot that when you're doing a movie about 1969, you need to have cars from the period too.
Right.
That helps. Well, and how much of the other stuff that happened in 1969 is represented in film? I mean, this is the year of the moon landing and Woodstock and the Mets winning the World Series, which I'm sure doesn't enter into it.
Right. Well, we tried to really think about that with the soundtrack. So we really went back to the late 60s and tried to, you know, even though they're all current musicians, we really went for the sound of that quality of sound of the 60s and that whole discussion and dialogue. You know, it was really fun. A lot of times the kids would look at me, the actors would look at me and just go, "What? What does that mean?"
Did you say groovy and stuff like that?
It was so funny. But, yeah, we really tried to stick to, and of course, you know, with costumes and all of these things, wardrobe, you know, we really, and every single thing you see in any house or any location, it's all 60s, late 60s.
So how long did it take for the whole production process from first doing scouting and setups to wrapping things up in the edit room?
Sure. So we start actually with a business plan, a formal business plan, in the summer, late summer of 2015, and that was after I wrote it earlier that spring. So 2015 spring, writing it, right, and then we did the business plan and got everything ready to go for investors. Filmed a little concept trailer that would help people see something and know the quality of the film that we would be making. And then from there, we got the investors on board, and then we went to pre-production last spring, 2016, I would say right around March, and started filming the film in the late June of 2016. Then right after we were done wrapped with filming, which was right around July 24th, we went into post. So we're just coming out of post. We just came out of post, and we just got accepted into some great festivals around the Northwest, so we're really excited about that, and here we go.
Barry Chase, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the producer, writer, director of the film The Watchman's Canoe, shot in and around the Coos Bay area, as you're hearing, and it'll be shown in some screenings of the director's cut tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at the Egyptian Theater in Coos Bay with some talkbacks. We'll get into the specifics in just a moment. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So was there a preliminary cut that's already been shown, at least in Coos Bay?
Actually, we did. We had a private screening for the investors, talent, and crew, and local people who helped us just to come out and see. And then what we did with that private screening was we took the information that was given to us and the discussion that was had about where we were in the film. So pretty much we were at about 80% completion at that point. Mm-hmm. And then we had a great discussion with investors and thoughts, and just it was wonderful because it really helped us go back to our edit and consider different things about the edit, especially. It really affected how we ended up with our soundtrack and our sound. And then from there, we made some changes and then took it and showed it at during the Sundance Film Festival. We didn't get into Sundance, but we showed it during the Sundance Film Festival, and we called it Off Sundance.
Was it actually in Sundance in Utah?
Yeah, so we went to Park City during Sundance. We weren't in Sundance, but we decided to get a youth hostel that is actually one of our investors' family owns this youth hostel, Park City Youth Hostel, and we basically set up the upstairs room into a huge screening room, and we canvassed the area because we knew there would be tons of film lovers there. All of us went out, all the kids, the families that are in the film, and handed out cards and invites to the screening, the private screening, and it was complimentary, and we had all those shows were pretty much filled, and it was wonderful. We had a Q&A after each one, and got a lot of great feedback.
So did you make any connections with that that'll get you into other festivals, that sort of thing?
You know, I think we did, because from there, one of the persons that saw the film went back to Seattle, where she was from, and is part of the Seattle Film Forum, and they invited us to be in the Best of the Pacific Northwest. So we're going to be in the Local Sightings Film Festival in Seattle this coming September. I believe it's the 22nd through the 30th.
So the screenings this weekend of the director's cut, which I said this is the finished version, then you're not going beyond here, right?
Right. right. This is the finished version.
But this is the first time that anybody but the investors in Coos Bay has seen the film?
This is the first time anyone is seeing and hearing this version. So the all of the sound is completely changed. And I decided to go back to my script for several of the scenes in the film. So, you know, we've kind of veered away from script a little bit in a couple of spots, especially in the end. And I decided to that I really wanted to go back to script. So that's the director's cut, and I'm very excited about it. And our friends down at Warner Brothers helped us put out a DCP so we can have the highest quality output for the theaters to be able to show on 4K projectors.
Oh, okay. That's the real high quality stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so 7:30 tonight, 7 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday evenings, and the Q&A is on Saturday. Is that right?
Yes, that is. That's correct.
So I'm prepping you for the Q&A, is that right?
You are. Thank you.
So labor of love, it sounds like, for the whole community. I could imagine this is a very moving experience for a lot of people in Coos Bay all at the same time.
It really is, you know, and we're really stretching out to, you know, with our next projects, everyone's very excited. We just actually filmed our concept trailer in Ashland out at Immigrant Lake in February. And, you know, we're going to be filming Coyote Howl's here, hopefully, this winter and all around Southern Oregon. So, you know, we definitely want to spread the love and you know, also help train local youths or anybody that wants to get involved in maybe acting or, you know, figuring out how to work on film crew. We're excited to work with everyone locally and let's make this fun and let's make some money.
Well, we certainly have democratized the making of film with the fact that you can buy a high def camera for a couple hundred bucks now has really made a difference in the world, hasn't it?
Sure has. It sure has.
All right, Barry Chase, good to talk to you. She is the producer, writer, director of the film The Watchman's Canoe. The director's cut screenings in Coos Bay at the Egyptian Theater tonight at 7:30, Friday and or rather Saturday and Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Let's see, cost for Saturday, $8 for the other ones, $6, $5 for members. Barry Chase, best of luck. Congratulations to the cast and crew, and thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you so much for having me.